Hi, it's the Paisley Print Arthur here. It's been a while. I've basically had really bad toothache for a few weeks and not really been up for podcasting. I've also been making a website and starting out a book funnel so I can give you all my next book for free because, well, I wanted to say thanks, to be honest. Okay, that's me being genuinely nice. Time to get back on brand. I've just written a blog about empathy and I'm going to read it to you now. So I've been reading about bias and empathy today, and I'm about to swing into purely theoretical territory because I'm a science fiction writer concerned with how we interact with the cosmos. So here we go. What I read has semi-confirmed what I've suspected for a long time, that closer disasters have a far greater emotional impact on us, not just because we are numb to the plight of foreigners, but that because we are tribal animals. We look for our tribe when looking for who to protect. It is the same thing that sees clumping of similar children in schools, that makes comic conventions so much fun, that makes herds out of total strangers in football stadiums and makes enemies of the other team's supporters. It kept us in tightly knit groups during the Ice Age. But is it still useful now, or is it harmful in this internet age? Runaway empathy is how segregation can begin, how abusers can whittle away at a family's truth, and how trust, sorry, and how new tribes evolve online. Just look at how people are ousted from certain communities for asking piercing questions, and how people signal to each other by filling their social media bios with a typical formula: political views, sexuality, gender presentation, hashtag acronym, as if that means something about them as an individual. It does not, in most cases, but it serves as a way to say, "Hello, I'm one of you. Let's be friends," to another human out there in the wilderness. And the internet is a wilderness. It is barren, yet busy and frightening. There are tribes out there that we disagree with, and which might be angry that we are sharing the same social media platforms, speaking our opinions which upset them. But we're all connected now, no longer allowed the stagnating freedom of nomads. We clamber around aging social media websites, battling for a chance to be known. Some people follow their political views slash sexuality slash gender presentation slash hashtag slash acronym formula to the point that there's barely any room left for their name. They lose something of themselves in this desperate attempt to signal what tribes they belong in. They become a piece in a greater machine. Sorry, there's a Lego figure under my foot. They become a piece in a greater machine, an individual in a hive mind. It is why people who disagree with a group from which they came, ex-Muslims, de-trans people, conservative Christians turned liberal atheists, are ousted, silenced, and even punished, sometimes violently, for thought crimes as simple as changing their mind later in life. Or realizing something about their cult. That's cut through. Tribe, rather, was off the whole time. It is why I am uncomfortable putting atheist slash skeptic in my bio, not just because, like with every tribe, the outspoken atheists are the worst ones, but simply because it takes up valuable characters, and I actually have a personality outside of the few cardboard boxes you might cram me into if you wanted to write a scathing news article about me when I'm famous. Evil author man said a thing we misinterpreted. Cancel him. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, empathy. Our empathy wants us to attach to similar people. We can empathize with them more because we know what it was like. I know what being bullied for being ginger is like, or what having an autistic brother and now sister, the diagnoses are creeping in, is like. So I can relate to and empathize with someone who's been through that. Other people may clump together due to shared cultural heritage, shared trauma, or a shared sense of humor. I've no idea what being an ex-Muslim is like because, despite some of the cultish aspects of my upbringing, I was never entrapped in any religion unless you count a conspiratorial hatred for local councils as a religion, which I don't because we didn't even get to wear silly hats. So, empathy is good for us. It helps us find people we can work together with efficiently, but there's also a case to be made for less empathy for more reason. Here's a quote from Paul Bloom, the author of Against Empathy: The Case for Rational Compassion. In order for me to help a situation where women are discriminated against in my university, I don't think I have to feel what it's like to be a woman who's discriminated against, says Bloom. I think that it's almost a narcissistic exercise. It's not really about me. And I agree. That makes a lot of sense to me. Something I noticed quite early in life is how eager people are to pretend they understand what you've been through, or to even pretend that they've been through the same, or worse. This desperation for relevance is often the sign of the adapting narcissist, but it's also a sign that our empathy is trying to take over, to make the alien across the room relatable. It's why literature is successful when it takes universal experiences and makes them new and unique. It plugs into something we can empathize with. A character falling in love is probably something we can all relate to. Unfortunately, marketing types know this, and they craft little stories to hook you in and make you feel things, leading to a sale. So, empathy can trip you up too. My mum once gave money to a homeless person who she later discovered was pretending to be homeless each weekend for extra cash when they weren't working. So empathy can get you rushing to buy stickers for a charitable cause that later turns out to be nonsense. Kony 2012, or having you know, it's a vintage reference there, or have you ignore the bigger picture of a disaster in favor of looking after a handful of people who really did not need all of your resources dumped on them. So we need to get more rational as a species, need to work out where to put our empathy to make it the most effective. So how do we stop letting runaway empathy control us? We can, of course, get around this by realizing that it's there, and through conscious awareness of it, we can then substitute emotion for reason. Basically, having a larger imaginative capacity might make you a more likely candidate for giving two shits about a natural disaster across the ocean. You can imagine yourself being there and develop some empathy that way. But what about people who lack the capacity? Just because you feel less emotionally affected by a distant tragedy does not mean that you're a bad person. People care about their own tribe first. You're not racist for worrying more about closer disasters, though to some it might look like it. What's happening isn't you ignoring the plight of foreigners because you hate them. No, what's happening is that your brain is keeping focus on its immediate environment. Better to worry about the fire in the forest we're stood in rather than the one on the next mountain range. But we're all connected creatures now, and all our fires intermingle. It is much better to replace empathy with reason wherever possible, for the simple reason that it is better for everyone. Because self-preservation is the reason our species is here, reading and thinking. Because we are all one big tribe. That's the trick. Our granular way of seeing things is an illusion created by our need to break the world down into data. The truth is much, much more complicated and huge and beautiful. We are all one tribe, all of us. Even the shitheads. And at the end, there's a footnote about the Islam bit. What's interesting about the point is that a few ex-Muslims have messaged me on Twitter asking me what it's like to be allowed to be an atheist. It's sad to see people having to hide themselves just to survive. I'm pretty pleased with that one. I am actually quite pleased with that blog post. So, yeah. Thank you for listening to this. I'm sorry that I disappeared for a while. I've lost two of my seven listeners, which is a great shame. And I don't mean to sound sarcastic, I've not slept. But yeah, I'm really working on some stuff right now, pushing everything forward. Got a proper awful website, and I'll probably be dropping this audio onto YouTube as well, so it's like on all the platforms. I still want to be doing this once a week and just give you an update rather than doing the daily Who Built the Humans diaries on Twitter, because they were getting cumbersome. Because I'm actually doing stuff and a lot of the stuff doesn't fit in tweets. So I thought, all right, I'll just combine them all into one tweet. That'll make it easier. Weirdly enough, it did. It didn't make it seven times harder. Anyway, I've been the Paisley Print Author. My new book that's coming out is called Hologram Kebab. And if you've read Who Built the Humans, I've got a spoiler for you. He's not dead. You don't know who that is if you've not read it. But he's not dead if you have read it. He didn't die. He's fine. He's not fine. He's got brain damage. But he didn't die. Goodbye.